pro-choice liberal feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Greetings and salutations on this March 29th. Today is my late grandmother's birthday. She would have been 95. And every time her birthday rolls around, I think of her. She was my Grammy. Anyway, just a real quick intro before we get into it. My mom is my guest, Ann Werner. And just going to give you her website right now. She's an author, and she also writes for Liberals Unite and Huffington Post. And ARK, ARK Stories.com has all of her books, and she writes thrillers, kind of along the lines of Stephen King and Dean Koontz. I usually read as she's writing and give my input, so there's that. I for whatever that's worth. But I like her writing. In fact, my mom has had many jobs. And she's been an actress. She's even worked as a clown and for kids' parties. And she sold cars, and she was a finance manager at car dealerships. She's worked at the electric company. I mean, I'm telling you, the woman's had so many jobs. So anyway, of all the things that she's ever done, I do believe writing is the best thing that she does. So she tells a good story. She spins a good yarn. And in every book that she's written, her books are all fiction except for the ones that I collaborated on with her. But anyway, the books that she writes always contain a strong female lead. And I don't necessarily think that was any kind of feminist decision. I know it wasn't. It's just that she's a woman and she writes what she knows. So, and she's a strong woman. So she's got a bunch of books. She's got one called Crazy, which I think Crazy might be my favorite. I also like Cooper's Grove. I like all of them. There's Dreams and Nightmares, Cooper's Grove, The People Next Door, and Crazy. But if I was going to recommend one, if you really like good thrillers, especially with dark humor, Crazy is a great read. And it's also loose, very, very, very loosely based on me and somebody that I used to know. So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give anything away. But I want to say that my producer, Bob Seska, recently experienced a loss. His podcast partner passed away last month. And obviously that's meant some changes. And so last month I did not do my free show, or I'm sorry, my third show, the bonus show. And I don't believe I'm going to be doing one this month, although that will, things are going to change next month. And that's what I want to kind of bring up here because Bob's been, busy, more busy than he normally is, trying to figure out the direction of his show. And so from what I want to start doing is I have found, I announced when I first started this show that I listened to Mark Maron's show, WTF, and I was like, I can do that. And although obviously I can do it, it's not so easy, especially because I'm not Mark Maron and I can't get people like Jeff Goldblum at the drop of a hat. So it's not always easy to find guests who know what they're doing and know how to take cues and understand, what it's like to be a guest on a show. And so it's difficult when you're all by yourself. So what I think I'm going to do, and this is all in the early stages and things are going to be are going to need to be worked out, but I believe I'm going to be bringing on a partner. And so I'll talk more about that later once it gets going. But I'm right now in the middle of talking to someone and I still want to kind of see where Bob's going to go before I make any final decision. But I'm just letting you know that there's going to be a little bit of a change coming up, but we're going to try to keep this URL. So there's, all the shows that I've done in the past will remain. If you're a subscriber, first of all, thank you. But just know that there's just going to be some changes on the show. I think we're going to change perks. We might include a goal, something that we're going to work towards. That's where things stand right now. And that also brings me to, you can help support the show because you do know that I'm indie. I'm an independent and it's just me. Right now we have no commercials. It's just me. So you can help support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And you can start with a dollar. You can go with a dollar. You can do $5. And $5 will get you access to And Another Thing, which is the show I do directly after my free shows. And that's $5 a month. And then I say on my Patreon account that if you do $10 a month, you'll get access to the free bonus show, which I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing another one this month. Next month will change. But you can donate anything you want. If you want to give me $50 a month, go for it. I know that's asking a lot, but you know, whatever you want, you can do. But we're always going to have free shows too. So I'm just happy that you're listening. And so as I mentioned, my mom's going to come on. She recently moved to Maryland, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on the after show And Another Thing. But we are going to pick on the purists. So just if you're one of these purist types and you're listening, I don't think you're going to be too happy, because I'm kind of getting fed up. And I'm certainly not somebody who doesn't question authority, or I want the Democrats to do a better job. I want every single congressperson to be on the ball and to work for the people. And I'm always going to want to hold them accountable. But I also recognize that, you know, there's compromise that needs to be made. So we're going to have a big discussion about that. But before we go to her, I just want to announce that this morning I woke up to a message on my answering machine, or on on my cell phone, not my answering machine. And I'm going to hand out the number, because this message was so ridiculous. I'm not going to even try to play it here because I don't know if it will come up. But it was this recorded message basically saying that, you know, if I don't, it was like supposedly the IRS and there's some kind of question of tax fraud, and that if I don't reply, you know, I'm going to be arrested. And it was just such full of shit. And it said something like, I hope you reply soon, so that charges are before we press charges against you. And so anyway, the phone number is 202-808-3432. So I called the number, and some guy with an accent in a call center answers, and you can hear that he's in a call center. And so I pretended, you know, I did my little acting thing, and I was like, yeah, I got this message, and I was told that I was going to be arrested if I didn't call back. And so he says in his accent, oh, well, what is your name? So I gave him some fake name, and he tells me, oh, do you have a middle initial? Sure, yeah, it's B. So he says, well, hold on. And he goes and puts me on hold for a minute, and he comes back and goes, oh, yes. And he's all concerned. And he says, you know, we found out that, you know, you're at risk and this and that. And I just started laughing, and I told him that I knew it was a scam, and then he hung up. So if anybody feels like calling that number and fucking with them, it's 202-808-3432. And that said, I don't think you get extra crazy charges. You know, I don't think that that's one of the calls where you, are charged like $2,000. So just in case you're afraid, don't call it. But if you're brave and you want to fuck around with them, give them a fake name and then mess around with them. 'Cause that's what I did. Anyway, there's all these scams. Don't fall for them. The IRS never says things in a recorded call like, I hope you call before we press charges and send you to prison. It's like they don't work that way. So anyway, that's it. We're going to have Anne on in a second. Again, it's arcstories.com. You can find her work there. And thanks for tuning in again. If you want to support me, that's at patreon.com/startmeup. And here comes Anne, my mom. Welcome back to the show, Mommy.
Good to be here, daughter.
You know, that just reminds me, I was still living with you in 94. And on January 17th, 1994, we had that big, it was the Northridge quake, remember?
Oh, yes, I remember it well.
And so it was awful. It was like the strongest earthquake I'd ever experienced. And so we were living in a condo, and it was like so scary and awful. And I got down on my hands and knees. I was in my bedroom, and I went, Mommy! And then, as soon as like the shaking stopped, the phone rang and it was Dad, because he was in DC and he worked for ABC News and he saw we were having an earthquake and he called to let us know we were having an earthquake. It was like, I think we figured it out by now.
I know. He asked if I smelled gas, and I remember the mirror was not attached to anything. The mirror that was on my dresser,
yeah.
And I had all this perfume, and so the mirror fell, and it just smashed all the perfume. And I told him, "No, I don't smell gas, but I smell lots of perfume."
Yeah, that was, and then like the neighborhood we lived in, there were a lot of Armenians, and I guess there was the big Armenian quake that they had experienced not long before, and like they were all freaking out and running out in the street and panicking, and it was just not a fun time. But that, I remember I was like an adult and I called you mommy. She like came out and I'm like, mommy. Oh, well, you know.
It just goes to show we all have a 6-year-old inside of us.
Yes. And sometimes I wish I could just be that 6-year-old and go hide in bed. That, you know, I'm starting to feel a little fatigue right now. I'm a sensationalistic person. I love sensationalistic. Remember when the first war in Iraq, when we were the shock and awe campaign with the stud, Arthur Kent, I was glued to the television, and you know, even with the OJ trial, it's like, it's sensationalistic and it's interesting and fascinating to me. So this, I'm getting Trump fatigue, and I don't know, I'm going to have to maybe take a little break or something, because it's so hard for me though. It's like, I can't look away. You know,
well, I tell you, you know, well, as you know, okay, I just completed not long ago a move across country.
Yes.
And I sold my place myself, and then I had to pack up. I had to do all this stuff. So I haven't been paying as much attention as usual, although I've been paying attention and it's been making me sick. But I have to say, it was kind of a relief.
Yeah.
Not to be immersed in it constantly and writing about it all the time. And it was bad enough that I would, you know, I mean, every day I got up and I felt like I was sick to my stomach, just because I, you know, you wake up and for a split second, you forget that mm-hmm. everything has been turned upside down. And then you remember who got elected.
Yeah.
And it makes you sick. Made me sick at any rate. But yeah, you know, it was nice to get away from it, but now I'm semi back into it, because you're gonna have a lot of stuff in front of me to do with the house.
Yeah, well, you're getting settled. We'll talk a little more about your move and another thing segment for subscribers only. I'm sure they're just dying to hear all about the details. But
I'm sure.
Before we get into some of the headlines, and I have a couple things that I want to talk to you about specifically, but I do want to bring up, and I've mentioned this to you before, but this is just for everybody who's listening. I don't remember when this happened, but I had a dream. I don't know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. I can't exactly remember when it was, but I was living with you, and I dreamed that in our living room, in your living room, there was this huge elephant. And mostly, you know, what I can remember, you know how dreams are strange and disjointed. This was pretty vivid, and there were colors, and it was very specific. So I dreamed that there was this elephant, real size, but mostly I just remember the head of the elephant being in your living room, and the elephant was dying. And it was upsetting to me. And I remember thinking, I was worried, because I knew the elephant was going to die, and then I didn't know how I was going to get it out of the living room. And then that was the end of the dream. And I remember waking up from that dream and being completely freaked out, because I know that elephants represent, you know, dreams can often be symbolic. And so, you know, the symbolism for elephant is often wisdom, patience, intelligence. But there's also the GOP elephant.
That's right.
And I wondered, you know, I at the time I thought, I don't know, you know, I was a little nervous that maybe my inner self or whatever had a message that, you know, my wisdom was dying or something like that. But now I'm going back to this dream, and I had another dream recently, which I'll talk about, but it made me remember this elephant dream. And I'm just wondering if this elephant dream was some kind of like prophetic dream, which I normally do not have. I don't believe I've ever had a prophetic dream. But I just wonder, it's like, does this mean the death of the GOP? And if so, it would kind of make sense because there is a big mess that would be, you know, left in our living room that we'd have to clean up. I mean, not literally in our living room, but a big mess that would have to be cleaned up. And I just wonder, I don't know exactly what that means. So let me just, and then I'll ask you, but I had a dream recently that I saw, so there was a freeway and there was a bridge that went over the freeway. And so initially I was with Bob and Bob, my producer and handsome boyfriend. And I talked, I talked to him and I'm like, look, Bob. And there were these like two whimsical looking birds. And it really wasn't at that point like an overpass with traffic. It just kind of had green and grass and stuff. So there were these two whimsical pinkish looking birds. They weren't pelicans or whatever those pink
flamingos.
It wasn't flamingos. It was something else. And they were a little pink with like purple writing on them. And they were kind of funny and whimsical. So I pointed to them. Then all of a sudden everything changed and it became a normal freeway overpass with traffic on it. And at the start of the bridge was this beautiful white flowing horse, like, you know, with like long mane and long horse tail hair, but it was confused and kind of out of control. And it looked like it wasn't happy. And it was just kind of random and running randomly. And I was worried about this horse and I kept thinking, oh my God, oh my God. And then the horse just kind of like fell off, you know, because it wasn't really paying attention to what it was doing. It didn't jump off the bridge, but it like fell off in the middle of traffic. You know, it fell into freeway traffic and I wouldn't look at it. And I remember, I think Bob kind of looked at it, but I just couldn't look at it. And I know that I had this dream shortly after the news came out that some Russian, person was thrown out of the fourth floor building and didn't die, but got severe brain injury. And so in the way, in my dream, it was kind of like, well, did the horse just suffer an injury or is it dead? Or, you know, maybe it suffered an injury, but all these cars are surely going to kill it. And, you know, I mean, the only thing that I can take away from that right now, because I've looked up the symbolism for horse and I'm not sure, because I think that, you know, there's universal symbolisms and then there's personal symbolism, and with the dream, it's hard to tell. But I know that at the end of the dream, I wasn't personally hurt. I just witnessed it. So again, if this has to do with, if this is a prophetic dream or if this is just me having, you know, freak out and fear about what's happening in Washington and all of that, I wasn't personally hurt, but I was witnessing carnage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, do you have any thoughts on what the white horse could represent? I mean, I see people, I mean, I've seen some.
The white horse, I mean, if you're going to take it into a political thing, all right, you could look at the white horse, okay, as being the Democrats, but then the Democrats are not exactly solidly together all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the symbolism, personal freedom is one of the symbols for dreaming about a horse.
Ooh, well, there you go. That could be the death of personal freedom as well.
Yeah.
That dream could be indicative of your deeply held fears.
Yeah.
That maybe you're not even consciously aware of.
Yeah.
Because dreams do come out of your subconscious. That actually makes more sense to me. I used to, I had a class, I had a professor and I was taking it on, and it was dream interpretation. It was a really interesting class. And I had a strange dream one time and I couldn't, and I've always been into dreams, as you know, but I couldn't figure out what the dream meant. And so when I talked to her, she came up with an explanation and I had what they call in all the dream books, you know, to figure out your dreams, the aha moment. Mm-hmm. And actually I think, what you just said was probably more of an aha moment.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Well, going back, it was the person tossed from the fourth floor was Nikolai, I'm never going to say this right, Gorkov, and it was a lawyer for Magnitsky's family. Magnitsky died in prison. So, you know, I mean, yeah. I think that I'm kind of susceptible. You watch all of this news and then your brain processes it in a certain way. And you know, I guess that could be what it is. But, you know, personal freedom dying and the fear.
Well, yeah,
fear
again,
of that.
It's your deep self fear. The you know that someone has taken away your personal freedom.
Yeah.
We all know who that someone is, and I just find it interesting, you know, that they are always talking about freedom.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And yeah, but they would like to take a lot of freedoms away. They don't say that, but, you know, with the with some of the recent things that they have done.
Yeah.
Okay, and this isn't even talking about Russia, okay? This is just talking about the stuff that they're doing, taking away Big Bird, for instance, you know what I mean? Taking away funding. All right. So that's like robbing children of knowledge when you take away funding for programs like that. Same thing when they, you know, the Meals on Wheels, the whole thing. When you take away someone's food, what are you taking away from them? You could actually be taking away their life.
Well, yeah, and there's also the whole, reproductive thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was going to say Planned Parenthood is next.
Yeah.
So you take away a woman's freedom to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women use Planned Parenthood, despite what they insist. You know, as anybody listening to this podcast knows, okay, only about 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions, and none of that is with federal money. That's
yeah.
all with other money that they get from donations from people like you and me. And that's a way of taking away people's personal freedom
yeah.
to deny them the things that they absolutely need just to get along in life.
Yeah, so maybe that white horse kind of represents everybody. And
yeah,
and we're
be,
all feeling,
you know,
kind of out of control.
Be representative of personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, you know, like you said that you found out that's what it means. Well, yeah, and it's not just your freedoms, it's everybody, including the people that voted for these bozos.
Okay, so that brings me to something, because the other day I read this article, and it was quite an alarmist article. And before I ask you the question or bring this up to you, I would like to kind of reiterate to anybody who's listening is sometimes I post articles on Facebook not because I think every word of it is true or I think that it should be taken as absolute fact, which I've said yesterday. I'm going to be very specific now. On, you know, making sure I specify, okay, mm-hmm. this is just somebody's opinion, because I know that there are people out there who are vulnerable to suggestion, or who don't always recognize the difference, or who might think that because I'm posting something, that means that I fully believe in every single thing. So anyway, this particular blog post, it was an alarming one, and it was talking about something that I've been feeling and saying, at least, in my private life, about how the oligarchs want to take over and dismantle all of the institutions and everything that keeps us safe in this country. And then they want to build on the military, which would be a very easy way to keep everybody under control, which they could do at this point anyway. But, it would only make it that much worse. And so, you know, I was freaking out, and I talked to you, and you kind of talked me down. I mean, it's not to say that neither one of us are freaking out anymore, but you gave me some hopeful words. I don't know if you remember them, but I do remember you brought up like the people attending town halls. So I would just ask you to once again kind of talk about why you think we still have hope.
Well, I think that our greatest natural resource is our people. People are involved now. People have woken up.
Mm-hmm.
That health care bill would have passed if it weren't for all those people showing up.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, you know, somebody sent them an email saying there's going to be a town hall, okay? But nobody paid these people like Donald Trump pays people to go to his rallies, all right? These people showed up. They had legitimate concerns. It was just Jane and John Q. Public there. Yeah. All right. These were not actors. These were moms and dads and students. And these are people that showed up and said, hey, and they are the reason, okay? They are the reason they scared the living shit out of their Republican representatives mm-hmm. who were afraid for their seats. I'm not saying these people did it out of their goodness of their heart, okay? And what, you know, and, you know, they like to make it sound, you know, well, I answer to my constituents. And it's like, yeah, you do, all right? And they realized that because they realized that if they didn't answer to their constituents, that their constituents were going to boot them out. So, you know, I don't care why anybody does something right. I don't care the reason they do it, just as long as they do it. These Republican legislators voted, you know, were going to vote no on that piece of legislation to save their own butt. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to keep their job.
Well, and it's also
that's how it works.
Yeah, and
that's
also great that in the face of being threatened by Bannon, they just said "fuck you."
Exactly. You know? And the same thing goes. For instance, now I invite everybody who can. All right, I'm going to go to the climate march, which is on April 29th, I believe it is. But there's all kinds of marches. Yeah, it's the People's Climate March in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure they're having rallies all over the country, okay? But that's just it. I can guarantee you, all right, Washington, D.C. is going to be inundated with people for this climate march. That's not the only one. There is also a March for Science on the 22nd of April. There is a tax march on the 15th of April. There is an immigrants march on May 6th. There's a National Pride March on June 11th. There's I don't even know what this is. Okay, a Juggalos March on the 16th of September. Okay, and it is in September. Fans of the hip hop group Insane Clown Posse and their fan base, better known as Juggalos, will march on DC to protest their classification by the FBI in 2011 as a gang. Okay, so there are all these resistance movements out there. Yeah. And depending who you are and what you care most about, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for people either to come to Washington, D.C. or to get involved in like satellite actions in their hometowns. And people are doing it.
And Mark
Cuban. They're doing it, you know, with really at like the drop of a hat. And that is why, because As we've heard from so many of our liberal friends, there are more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
And the whole reason that Trump is in office is because enough of us did not work to get the result that we wanted in the 2016 election. And that's just the truth.
Well, and I just want to say that Mark Cuban, that billionaire, I think he tweeted out to the Women's March, like, "Hey, let's have another one."
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, well, I know that he
cannot stand Donald Trump.
I know, and I know that the organizers of the Women's March are, you know, have all kinds of plans. And fortunately, they've gotten big enough to, you know, this one march really kind of put them on the map. I know that some people have issues with them. Whatever. I don't care right now. All I care about is more marches and more protests and understanding I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't. I posted an article on my like page a couple of days ago about I think it was in Korea where there was a march where they threw down or they were able to take down the leader or something. But the difference of what they had over what we had is they had some kind of smoking gun and we don't right now. So. But I think that, you know, I mean, it does make me feel better to think in terms of, first of all, this country is, you know, like you look at a country like Russia and they went from communism to what's going on right now. So in a way, not really, but kind of in a way, what they have now is better. I was there. I was in Russia in 1980, 81 when I was 12 years old because my father worked for ABC News and I got to see firsthand what it was literally like to live behind the Iron Curtain and live in a communist society. I've seen Russia through, you know, pictures and stuff. And in fact, This is just kind of an interesting tidbit. On YouTube, you can write driving through anywhere, driving through Los Angeles, driving through Moscow, and somebody has, you know, recorded that. So you can look and just look at the scenery. So I went driving through Moscow and it looks different now. I mean, it still looks like the Moscow that I remember for the most part, but now there's all these, you know, it's the influence of the Western world has hit, and it looks different. It's more colorful now, where before the colors were pretty much like this gray, a gray mustard yellow, and like that Russian gray, like grayish color red. And those were the predominant colors. And so now, you know, the people of Russia went from communism to what they have now. But the people in America weren't oppressed in the way that Russians were oppressed. So I don't know that they're going to be able to just go with the flow, you know, as these oligarchs are trying to turn us into basically what Russia is now. If you follow my...
I think one of the differences, okay, between one of the many differences between us and Russia, the Russian people are very used to living under a dictator.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
It's not the Soviet Union anymore.
We're not.
But that guy's a dictator.
Yeah.
And they're used to it. And I remember talking to someone, and this was years ago. This was while Russia was still behind the Iron Curtain, but there were some, you know, there were some Russians that managed to escape, and they came to the United States, and they could not deal with the freedom. They were used to being told what to do, where to live, what kind of job they could have. And
Even going into an American grocery store freaks them out because there was too much choice.
Too much choice. They didn't know how to deal with all those choices. And so that's the big difference between us and them. Another big difference between us and them is, even though God knows we've got a really checkered history when it comes to human rights. I mean, you just look at, you know, slavery. You look at the internment of the Japanese. I mean, you look today, women are still being held down, despite what they like to have you believe. You know, look what we've done to the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are not innocent, and certainly not better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the one thing that we have done that you never see in a place like Russia is we have admitted our mistakes. Mm-hmm. We at least try to do something about it, and we have done things about it. Everything seems to move at a glacial pace, especially if you're one of those groups like gay people or black people or, you know, whatever group that you're in that's being held down in some way, okay? It's still, you're not being held down the way those people were held down.
Yeah.
You are not told, this is the job. No matter what your abilities are, this is a job you will do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And you will live in this apartment, you and your family of 10 that can barely fit in there. I mean, people don't really realize what it was like behind the Iron Curtain. And so the limited freedoms, and they are limited freedoms that they have in Russia, are defined by those people because those people really don't know how to, they don't know how to deal with real freedom because it's not in their memory.
Yeah. And I mean, American,
even in their racial memory.
And Americans are used to having freedom. So they're not going to lie down. Yeah. They're not going to lie down to the oppression and stuff like
and
that.
Not to mention the fact that the makeup of this country has changed substantially. And now, I mean, we are a nation of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And every single immigrant that has come into this country has been shit on. Okay, first of all, the first immigrants shit all over the Native Americans. All right, after the Native Americans, you know, helped us survive, we just dumped all over them. We took their land. We gave them disease. We were just the typical European conquerors. That's what we were. Okay. But you know, new people there, you know, when Irish, I remember when I was a kid, they would talk about Irish people and it was, oh, Irish people are filthy, dirty. They don't wash their underwear. I remember thinking, well, how do you know that? Have you looked at their underwear? And there used to be signs in the windows. Okay. You know, about job openings, Irish need not apply. Okay. It was easier for Irish people to assimilate because they were white.
Yeah.
All right. It was, I mean, look at the African American community. Good God, Miss Martha. I mean, they are still fighting this huge battle. But I mean, they're ahead of where they were when they were slaves.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, talk about a glacial pace. But yes, I mean, we actually had a president who was elected by a majority twice, two in a row. And getting a majority vote is very difficult to do. Yeah. And he did it. Okay, twice.
Yeah, just ask Trump.
So, I mean, that's a big thing. And when you look around the country now, you're seeing gay people who are in positions of authorities in city and state offices, you know, and openly gay people. And the same thing for people of color and people from all different ethnicities.
Yeah.
You know, For the most part, we are a welcoming nation. We you know, we're never going to be perfect. I don't think anything on this earth is perfect and never will be. I think that we are here to learn. And I think that the longer we're around, the more we learn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I think that there is hope for this country. We've been in some bad spots before, but we have always pulled out. And so I don't think this is the demise of the United States. I think we're going through a really bad patch. Look at Germany. Look at Germany and what they went through. And
well, that's,
I mean,
what that's Dad brought up. The you brought up that there are signs in Germany reminding of everybody not to go back. Dad brought up that when I spoke with Dad and had the exact same fears, he mentioned that, you know, like in the 30s, there were Nazis marching in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are going through a terrible patch, and we definitely have to wake up, which I do think that we have woken up. But this is going to bring me to, I'm going to talk about this briefly, but then I'm going to go to two positive things before we wrap up. But this brings me to the whole purist thing. And, you know, today there's two people that I have in mind, and I'm not going to mention them by name. But there's this one person who I know through a friend, and I'm not friends with them on Facebook, but I do look at this person's page because it pisses me off every fucking time I look at it. And I made a Facebook post today, very snarky Facebook post, kind of a post addressing this purist, you know, kind of attitude, pointing fingers at everybody who doesn't, you know, live off the grid and, you know, eat pure foods. And, you know, I was talking to Bob about it. And so he pointed out, he's like, yeah, I'm sure the person who posted this did it on their computer that they didn't buy from the United States on corporatist Facebook. And, you know, and it's true. It's like they're so busy pointing their fingers at everybody else for not being pure while they're totally taking advantage. I'm sure, you know, I know this person has a car and uses gasoline. And so that means that they're helping out big oil and they're polluting the air. And, you know, I'm sure that they're paying electric company for their water and power. They're not just going to a stream and bathing and shitting in their outhouse. And, you know, and I'm so sick and tired of all these people. And so anyway, there's this guy that you and I were both friends with for a long time. And, you know, he I like to kind of describe right now. I wouldn't necessarily have said this before, but he reminds me of the liberal version of the brainwashing of my father, because he's so fucking angry and he's always screaming about something. And, you know, I mean, I have not always agreed with everything he said because he takes it to a bit of an extreme. You know, he loves to, I mean, and I'm not ever going to take up for Mel Gibson, but, you know, any chance he gets, he bags on Mel Gibson.
He bags on Mel Gibson. He bags on the Pope. He bags on everybody. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and he bags on Oprah, and he bags on this, and it's like, oh, my God. So anyway, he made a post yesterday, and I have a feeling it was because Bob wrote an article on Salon and Bob Seska, and he kind of, you know, made this bullet point of things happening with Russia and how we're in this mess. And one of them was that whole campaign to divide the Democratic Party by, you know, infiltrating Bernie groups. And you and I both saw it. We saw it in real time, where initially those groups were pretty much the kumbaya, let's just love on Bernie, and then it became this I hate Hillary fest. And initially, if somebody, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, because I think you and I have a different perspective here, a unique perspective, but if someone in that group, before it looked like before it got infiltrated by the bots, the Russian bots, or even maybe Republican bots, who knows, you know, if they said something negative about Hillary, people would jump on and say, hey, let's keep this positive Bernie only. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing all these right wing smears against her popping up. And it feeds these kinds of people, like this man who we're talking about, who's like the angry leftist. And he, you know,
angry leftists are just as bad as angry rightists.
Yeah.
And
the thing is,
they're
it's like
same thing, same thing.
Yeah. He made the point that he didn't like Hillary back in 2008. And he said something like, and he said something along the lines of, oh, well now it's like Putin has turned us all against Hillary. And it's like, no, that's not what happened. What happened was, The Russian government recognized there was a little bit of a divide in the Democratic Party, because there always is during a primary. There's always the people who are for this one and they want this one more than that one. So they saw the opportunity to go in there and make that divide wider. And they did. And then take into account that you had all these people, especially young people who were new to the political process, and they were like all in love with Bernie, and then they weren't really that aware of Hillary. Maybe all they heard about Hillary was negative, and then it got reinforced. So you created these people who like became insanely, you know, like filled with hate based on bullshit. Yeah, and it was all based on, but I'm not saying people who had issues with Hillary are wrong. I had issues with Hillary.
I had issues with her too. I wrote about it.
But I also recognized that she was.
Sane people don't vote for Donald Trump, and sane people don't throw a freaking hissy fit and throw their vote away on somebody that's never going to win an election where there's only two candidates and one of them is Donald Trump.
Yeah, and hand it to the candidate and then start barking about, stop trying to scare me. It's like, oh my God. So anyway, stop trying to use fear to influence my vote. And, you know, and it's it brings me back to this whole ranked choice voting thing. If we had ranked choice voting in every state, Hillary would be the president now. And I know that would piss off these purists, but she would. And you know what? Yeah. They would be fucking happier because they wouldn't be dealing with the orange fuckface and, you know, everything that is involved.
We'd actually have things done. And, you know, we would probably by this time now, we would probably if people had come out and done their civic duty and voted, we'd probably have a full Supreme Court now.
Right.
And, you know, and we would have somebody who actually, if you passed a bill for $15 an hour minimum wage, she would sign it. She, you know,
of course she would.
No renewing Keystone Pipeline, no getting rid of the EPA.
Oh, my God, it would be totally different.
What these purists refuse to understand is that everybody does not think like they do.
Yeah.
And they want to dictate. They're just as bad as the freedom.
Yeah, they're anarchists. They're just anarchists.
It's like they wanted to burn it down. Well, you know, it's not fun when you're standing in the middle of flames.
Yeah, I know. And they stand in the middle of flames and point their fucking fingers.
Yeah, well, fuck them and the horse they came in on. I have no time for people like that. I have no time for people who willfully blind themselves to the truth. And I have no time for people who want to dictate how things should be. I realize
that's just as bad as the Republicans.
They branded a traitor to the cause, that, you know, you have to compromise, because we are a country made up of, what is it, 300 and some million people. Everybody isn't going to think the exact same way I do or you do or they do.
Even though they should.
Somewhere there are places where we can all agree. Yeah. And that's what we need to concentrate on, not not their their purest bullshit.
Yeah, even Trump is saying he's going to work with the Democrats now on healthcare.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, I want single payer, but we tried it the other way. It didn't work.
Okay, so now I'm going to go into two positive things. Okay. Before we finish up. Number one is, you know, I keep posting about this because I want to remind people, but Nevada just ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. And for people that don't understand what this means, I just kind of want to explain very briefly that, you know, back in the 70s, there was this huge movement to ratify the ERA. You need 38 states in order to enshrine it in the Constitution. We got 35. And then the late Phyllis Schlafly, started her Stop ERA campaign, and successfully her and all the right wingers thwarted the effort to finally get those last three states ratified. And then Congress slapped on a deadline. And then interestingly, and I don't know when that deadline was slapped on, but I think it was supposed to go until,
I think it was
82 or 83, but I can't remember the deal except for that. I do know.
Well, they extended the deadline at one point. I think it was 7 years. That was
Jimmy Carter. So Jimmy Carter extended it. And I think that, that is a good point to make, the fact that Jimmy Carter got it extended, which means Congress has the ability to remove the expired deadline altogether. But anyway, so when you're an ERA activist and you're knocking on doors and you're trying to get people to support the three-state strategy, which is, even though there was an expiration on that deadline, it means that if you get 38 states ratified, you should be able to get into the Constitution. So what you're going to hear from Congress, you know, from like, okay, you've got Senator A and then their staff guy. Their staff guy's like, oh, well, you know, you need to go get the last three states before we're even going to consider supporting it. But it's like, well, if you don't, and then they argue, well, there's a deadline on it. It's like this circular thing where you can never get anywhere. At least in Nevada, they had enough Democrats to push this thing through, and they got it ratified. So if we're able, there's two more states that they're eyeing, ERA activists are eyeing, and that is Virginia and Illinois. So if they're able to do that, then, you know, and of course the naysayers, because there are so many fucking naysayers with the ERA, it just blows my mind. But anyway, the naysayers say, well, you're never going to pass it in this Congress. Well, no fucking shit. We're not. But the goal here is to get, you know, next time around, if we can get all 38 states ratified,
and then the only thing blocking us, that deadline, then we'll finally
need a Democratic Congress, because if we get the Democratic Congress, they will remove the deadline.
Yes, they will.
Right now, they're not going to. So the whole point here, it all goes back to voting. Yeah. It all goes back to showing up. There's an election every single year. And so Democrats have failed in the last two midterm elections. They have not shown up. So this brings me to the second point. And I know anybody listening to this who was a full-on Bernie supporter and is a purist, if you are, you're going to hate what I'm going to say. Because Tom Perez and Keith Ellison are now running the DNC. And I actually think Tom Perez is kind of awesome. I know that he's been labeled as the corporatist and, you know, everybody's got their reasons for hating him. But this is what I think about him. I mean, he's got a resume of all kinds of success. The first thing he did when he was voted in his chair is bring Keith Ellison in, because he recognized that Keith Ellison brings with him this huge grassroots movement, that Keith Ellison knows how to mobilize voters. And frankly, I think Tom Perez has, at least this is my personal opinion, has like a stronger presence when he talks. I think Keith is awesome. And I think together, the kind of like bulldog mentality of Tom Perez mixed with, you know, the grassroots excitement and know-how that Keith Ellison brings, I think they're going to do a fucking great job. And there was an article that just came out yesterday by MSNBC that, you know, Tom Perez gave everybody in the DNC their walking papers, and they're totally restructuring and organizing. And I feel hopeful about this.
So do I. And I know I saw something, I think it was Bernie Sanders. He said, look, if Tom Perez is happy and if Keith is happy, I'm happy. And that's how I feel. Okay. And Tom Perez and Keith Ellison, they both seem to be happy. If they're happy and Bernie's happy, I'm happy too.
Yeah. And if anybody takes
so many things you know, what people, what these purists seem to forget is, and then they discount and poo-poo it when you bring it up, but the platform of the Democratic National Committee was altered substantially because of the influence of Bernie Sanders and his supporters. This shows that there's real muscle there, mm-hmm. And the actions that Perez took yesterday, in his beginning to restructure the DNC, it's the same thing. Okay, they're listening. Finally, they're listening. Okay, I think if nobody else in the party realizes the mistake, Perez sees the mistake for what it was. Okay, and so he realizes, okay, that, you know, we'll never win without the progressive arm of the party, never, all right? But by the same token, the progressive in the party, you know, they have to realize, and most of them do, certainly the ones that, you know, are with the DNC and have worked for those changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they realize, okay, that, yeah, you've got to compromise sometimes. And, you know, so you've got to compromise right there within the party on some things because, you know, you have Southern Democrats. They see things a little bit different than Northern Democrats, mm-hmm. and Western Democrats and Eastern Democrats, you know, because we're all people. So we all see things differently. But, okay, in the end, we all really do want the same things. We want clean air. We want clean water. We want equality. We want health care for everyone. We want to take care of the environment. We want to get money out of politics. We want the opposite of everything the Republicans want.
Well, I also think that some of the people who are so angry and screaming the Puritans or whatever, I mean, maybe not Puritans, like, I'm just going to give an example. There's this guy on my Facebook page, and he was bitching about Tom Perez. He was pissed, and he's a Bernie supporter. And so I commented on his thread, and I basically said, look, you know, Tom Perez just started. He, you know, the first thing he did was bring in Keith Ellison, which tells me that he's interested in really working. And, yes. And, you know, and I said, I want to give this guy some time. Let him do it. I said, you know, I read both of their platforms and I was impressed with both. And both of them recognize the zip code, you know, going zip code by zip code. And also, you know, one of the things that Ellison was talking about was preparing Democrats for, you know, going on Fox, going to town halls, arguing, you know, the there's that kind of like right wing argument that you say, they say the sky is green. And then the Democrats are so busy trying to prove that the sky is actually blue. And then they prove it. And then the Republican goes, the sky is orange. And then the Democrat has to go prove again that the sky is like, so they're teaching people how to argue with mm-hmm. the Republicans in a way that they can get their points across. And, you know, clearly Bernie has that down. Bernie knows how to take a West Virginia Trump voter and make them scream for single payer.
I know.
So, you know, I mean,
that was an amazing thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, there are definitely ways that the Democrats, you know, and I was going to say that a lot of these people who are screaming and bitching right now, I bet you would be thrilled if, you know, in 2018, we're able to, you know, take a lot of seats and I bet you they wouldn't care if some of these Democrats who, you know, replaced Republicans, maybe they're not really, maybe they're pro-life who believe in pro-choice, or maybe they're Second Amendment gun lovers, but they're going to vote with the Democrats. Yeah. So it's like, that's what happened in 2006. Frankly, you know, you have to have people who are representing you wherever you live. Like if you're living in Kansas and you're living in Kentucky, you're not going to be able to bring in somebody who is uber progressive and screaming about, you know, trans rights and bathroom. They're not going to win on that. As much as we'd love that, they're not going to win on that. They're, you know, the voters want to see someone who mirrors them. They want to see a Christian, you know, a Christian person who, like, you know, you look at Tim Kaine, you know, he was certainly a pro-life person who believes women should be able to have abortions if they want to. And that it's not his place to
separated it. In the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
He has a religious belief.
And I don't have a problem.
That had no place in governing.
I don't have a problem with Tim Kaine at all. I don't have a problem with the fact that he doesn't like abortion. That's perfectly fine for me. It's like, as long as he doesn't tell women what they can do with their bodies, his personal preference is, that's fine. And so I think that I think there is some hope here with Tom Perez and Ellison and anybody out there who is, ready to make up your mind now. I just ask, just give them some time, don't assume and don't make up your mind because they haven't yet done what they need to do. If
just getting started.
Yeah. If in the 2018 election we lose again, okay, start bitching. But but let's just see what they're going to do.
Let's see what he can do. Let's see what he can do because we've already seen what other people have done, and they were not effective at all.
Yeah, Okay.
Which is why we have lost so much. And we're not even talking about the presidency. I mean, how many governors? I mean, there's 30 some Republican governors. There's so many state legislatures that are controlled by Republicans, and these people, they're not really representing the best interests of their constituency, and their constituencies, so many times are in these poorer states. You're dealing with people that are very easily manipulated, who time after time after time vote against their own best interests. So, these are the people you have to talk to, just like Bernie did when he went to West Virginia and talked to those people in that coal mining community and had them because those people, they deal with black lung.
Yeah.
Constantly, because that's it, and they also know, all right, that coal is a dying industry, despite the fact that Donald Trump says he's going to resurrect it. I saw something yesterday, I think it was 750,000 coal jobs, over 350,000, I think it was, alternative energy jobs, clean energy jobs, good paying clean energy jobs. So you go into those places and you just ask these people point blank, where would you rather spend your time? Underground in a mine that may cave in and it's going to pollute your lungs, or above ground in the sunshine?
Yeah.
If you're going to be, and as long as those above ground jobs are paying you good money, which these, green jobs do, then what do you want to do? Okay. And I can't imagine that anybody would say that I'd like to go crawl back into that hole.
Yeah, I know.
So, maybe somebody would, but I kind of doubt it.
Well, I'm just going to end on this, and we're not going to talk about it. I just want to say that Associated Press came out yesterday breaking anti-abortion activists who made undercover videos of Planned Parenthood talks charged with 15 felonies in California. So, haha, more good news.
Too freaking bad for them.
And so now we're going to end the show with a little bit of a nod to piss off the purists. But anyway, we'll get into... we'll get into you living in your new home and another thing. So stick around. But to everybody listening to the free show, thank you. You can check out, go to ARK Stories, ARKstories.com, and you can look at Anne's books.
And look at Kimberly's books. Check out all of our books because they're all really, really, really good.
And we're indie authors, so we need help from you.
Yes, we do. And so buy a book.
I know the purists won't because they're like, fuck you. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with me, and don't leave.
I won't.